Hello and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee today on WKOM and WKRM Radio. Your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Thursday, April 11th, and we start with local news. The Murray Regional Medical Center's proposed sale of roughly 6.5 acres of property on Trotwood Avenue in Columbia for a potential hotel was presented to the county's Health and Environment Committee during its April meeting. The Murray Regional Board of Trustees presented a resolution passed at the group's March 28th meeting indicating its desire to sell 7 tracts on Trotwood for at least $2.95 million to Duke and Gobble Properties, LLC, a development group based in Lawrence County. The proposal was approved in advance to the Budget Committee. Dr. Martin Chaney, Chief Executive Officer of Murray Regional, spoke with commissioners about the proposed sale. Per the Private Act of 1995 passed by the General Assembly, the sale of any hospital property exceeding $1 million requires the approval of 2/3 of the County Commission. It's been in the talks for a while. We look at all of our properties and how we can strategically use them. Are they bringing us current benefit? Are they going to have future benefit? Dr. Chaney said. We were approached several months ago with an intriguing proposal to buy that property for the placement of at least one hotel, he said. Dr. Chaney said the hospital's leadership team and board of trustees had examined the proposal and endorsed it. He presented both identified pros and cons to the potential sale. A partnership for a hotel is good for Murray Regional. To have it that close to our hospital, we would use it a lot, he said, noting past snow days when the hospital had to house nurses and had nowhere to put them, in addition to the ease of patient visitors. Other identified pros to the idea included increased tourism development and assistance with the financial stewardship of the hospital. Chaney did say if a hotel were built on the property, the hospital would have to develop a working relationship. In addition, the potential impact to traffic on Trotwood Avenue was addressed. There will have to be some work done. We do see this as an opportunity to potentially incorporate some turn lanes there, Dr. Chaney said. Commissioners seemed amenable to the proposal, with Kevin Markham saying, "I'm in favor of doing this. That property needs to be used for something productive." However, Scott Sumner's raised concerns over Columbia Mayor Chas Mulder having written the resolution on behalf of the hospital. Dr. Chaney noted that Mulder has served as the hospital's backup legal counsel for a number of years, and that he was only used because Murray Regional's regular attorney was on an extended vacation. Gabe Howard also addressed traffic concerns, saying he had reviewed traffic crash data on Trotwood Avenue and that most crashes occur between Columbia Academy and Columbia Fire Station No. 4. Ray Jeter asked about the current zoning of the property, with Dr. Chaney stating the property would have to be rezoned in order to put a hotel there. Commission Chairman Eric Previti added, "This side of town, we're not very well served. This will be a game changer, a boost to the restaurants," he said. Chaney also spoke on the hospital's strategic growth plan, noting there were 61 defined growth initiatives in the 5-year plan that covers 2023 to 2028. Chaney said 60% of those had been accomplished or were in the process of being completed in the first year. "We've met our new provider recruitment goals for the first year, issued really strong marketing plans, and then our renovations and brand identity to address our increased volume is well underway," Dr. Chaney said. The hospital has purchased land in Lawrenceburg for an eventual 60,000-square-foot health park. Part of that space will be subleased to other providers, but the park will include labs, an imaging center, and eventually the hospital's sleep lab. "We're hoping that within a year from now, we'll be fully operational in this building," Chaney said. Of 15 projects on the main Columbia campus, 11 have begun, according to Dr. Chaney. Among the projects are remodels of operating rooms, updates to the emergency treatment areas, and an ambulatory surgical center that should break ground sometime in April. Dr. Chaney also addressed future expansion plans, saying Murray Regional was working to determine whether adding floors to its tower or building out elsewhere from the hospital was the best option from a cost standpoint. The Maury County Building Committee voted unanimously last Monday to form a steering committee to move forward on talks surrounding the new administrative complex, including its location and whether the building will serve both the school system and the county. The county commission had approved $5 million to pursue the idea of the building, which would account for school and county functions up to the year 2034. Three locations are currently being looked at for the building, including remaining on the Columbia Square, the former McDowell Elementary School site, and the Maury County Public Schools' current administrative building. Bart Klein with Klein Sweeney & Associates had a formal program, said a formal program has been taking place for the last 3.5 months. The program session that we're in right now is basically all the information we need to design a building, Klein said. Our next phase we move into is schematic design. I'm sure you are all familiar with Public Square, the McDowell site, and the school's admin building. What we're looking at is an administrative complex that is either a building for the county and the school, or separate, he said. In order to develop the building on the square, Klein said a structured parking garage would be needed, with approximately 408 to 478 parking spaces. That number will decrease in the schematic design phase once we do the parking analysis, Klein said. The big issue with developing on this site is you're going to pay for a structural parking garage, he said. If we look at the McDowell site, it's 7.25 to 7.45 acres. It is large, Klein said. It can accommodate future expansions and separate buildings. It can accommodate the Senior Citizen Center, he said. Klein brought up two options for the administrative complex if it were to be built at the McDowell site, including two separate buildings and one combined building. Not combined, the total estimated cost would be roughly $50 million, or $2 million more if the buildings were combined. The third option looks at combining the buildings on the square for $65 million. Option four looks at two separate buildings, Klein said. A building for the school here at McDowell with just what they need, and a building at Public Square for what you need for the county, he said, adding that the total estimated cost would be $56 million. District 4 Commissioner Connie Green brought up traffic concerns if the complex were to be brought to the square. We're moving one area which is a traffic jam down a two-lane street with another traffic jam with all these departments, Green said. Commissioner Danny Grooms, who represents District 10, said he believed placing the complex at the McDowell site makes the most financial sense. At the end of the day, we're tasked to be good stewards of the taxpayers' money, Grooms said. I do not believe for a minute if we move this stuff off the square that it's going to become a ghost town down here. If we build back here, it's already a nightmare. At the end of the day, a little common sense has got to prevail, he said. The best place, in my opinion, is at McDowell combined with the school, Grooms said. County Commission Chairman Eric Previti reminded commissioners that the county and school board are two separate entities. I still have an issue with the possibility if we fund this, it's going to become property of the school board, and then we have to rent from them, Previti said, adding his concerns over security issues. The computer networks are going to have to be separate networks. If it's a possibility, I would like to see the school board give us the land back, he said. Klein said the schematic design for the building is set to be done in 90 days before going on to design development. The project will then be put out for bid. Construction for the building is scheduled to begin in April of 2025. The building committee will approve members for the steering committee by next month's meeting before being sent out to the full commission. The Gary Sinise Foundation has awarded the Maury County Fire Department with a grant of $104,295 for the purchase of a water rescue jet boat. The announcement, which was made last Friday, April 5th, states that the boat is manufactured to handle bodies of water with varying depths and shoals that other boats cannot handle. Manufactured in Orofino, Idaho, the boat features a 310 horsepower Indmar 2.3 liter EcoBoost engine. The boat will be equipped with recessed lighting in the bow for nighttime operations and a reinforced hull composed of a UHMW polyethylene coating to withstand the impacts of shoals and trees on the Duck River and other waterways in Middle Tennessee, a press release from Maury County Fire reads. This boat will increase responders' safety and decrease the regular damage realized on prop and jet prop driven boats that we currently utilize, the department said. On behalf of Maury County Fire Department and the citizens of Maury County, we are extremely grateful to Gary Sinise and his foundation for the generous donation of this life-saving rescue boat, the press release reads. The boat is expected to be delivered in 2025. The City of Columbia and Maury County have both been awarded $100,000 in tourism enhancement grants from the Tennessee Department of Tourist Development. This grant supports cities and counties seeking to invest in their local tourism assets, lift visitation, and increase economic impact. The city will use these funds to create two Blue Way access points on the Duck River at Riverwalk Park, while Maury County will allocate the funds for construction of a Blue Way River access point along the Duck River State Scenic River in Yanali Park. Former Columbia Fire Chief Ty Cobb is contesting a determination by the city that he is not entitled to a hearing before the city's Civil Service Board. Cobb was terminated by City Manager Tony Massey on March 12th. The termination letter contained allegations that Cobb accused Columbia police officials of being involved in an attempted break-in of a civilian's residence and offered to pay for favorable news coverage of himself and his department. A letter sent by Cobb's attorney, John Mark Windle of Livingston, states that under the city's charter, Cobb is entitled to contest his termination before the city's Civil Service Board. The City of Columbia Charter and City Code clearly state that the fire chief is not a department head and is entitled to a civil service hearing, the letter, dated April 3rd, states in part. In an email to Main Street Maury, Massey disagreed with that assessment, stating that that position is not covered under civil service per the Columbia City Charter. A separate letter from Wendell, dated March 15th, states in part that when John Cobb was hired, he was given written notice he was a civil service employee. Mr. Cobb's status as such has never been rescinded or terminated, nor has Mr. Cobb received any actual notice from the city of the termination of his status as a civil service employee. Chapter 2 of the City of Columbia's charter states that the Department of Public Safety shall have jurisdiction of the fire department, and that the Director of Public Safety may not suspend the Chief of Police Department or the Chief of the Fire Department without the concurrence of the city manager. The City of Columbia's website does not reference a Department of Public Safety, but instead lists police and fire separately among the city's various departments. The city also does not have a Director of Public Safety listed among its employees. The Columbia City Council will hold a public hearing Thursday on a proposal to raise the city's sewer rates in order to service debt expected for the construction of a wastewater treatment plant. According to documentation provided to city staff, the guaranteed maximum price for the new wastewater treatment plant is just over $95 million, plus engineering costs. It has been recommended that the city use existing funds to cover approximately $20 million of the cost. Those include $10 million in reserve funds and $10 million in American Rescue Plan Act federal assistance funds. It is proposed that the city issue bonds for the remaining $77 million. The bond issuance would be for a term of 30 years at 4.12% interest. The sewer rate increase has been proposed to service that debt. Using the proposed new rate, it is estimated that the average sewer bill, assuming a family of four using approximately 5,000 gallons of water per month, would increase the monthly bill from $39.49 to $53.74, or a 14.25 per month increase. City staff information indicates the last sewer fee increase was 2011. Having received a small city's community development block grant for sidewalk improvement along South High Street from West 8th Street to West 11th Street and along East 8th Street from South Main Street to west of South Glade Street, the City Council will consider awarding the contract. The city will be required to cover just over $200,000 of the cost of the $763,314 project. Mayor Chas Mulder noted that it is believed to be the single biggest sidewalk investment at one time due to the scale, adding that it is a good opportunity to get the sidewalks improved at a good cost. Chief of Police Jeremy Alsup told board members last week that the department has a new canine officer named Winston, paid for partially through the Tennessee Highway Safety Grant. His handler is current Columbia PD Officer of the Year, Austin Sanders. The council will be asked to ratify the application and accept the grant funds for the grant, as well as another grant to continue the canine program. Buckle up, young readers and families, for an exciting adventure awaits at the Mount Pleasant Touch a Truck event on June 1st. In celebration of the upcoming Mount Pleasant Library Summer Reading Program, this interactive and educational event will bring the community together for a day of hands-on exploration with a variety of vehicles. The date is June 1st at 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. The location will be at Halong Avenue and the Square in Mount Pleasant. The Touch a Truck theme is about community heroes, and different trucks will be lined up in the street for kids to check out and learn about their community heroes that help us every day. This unique opportunity for children and families to get up close and personal with an array of vehicles, from fire trucks to construction equipment, police cars, and more. This free, family-friendly event not only promises a day of fun and excitement, but also serves as the perfect kickoff for the library's summer reading program. The event is designed to inspire a love for reading and learning in children while offering a memorable experience that fosters a sense of community. Participants will have the chance to climb aboard and explore the various vehicles, interact with local community heroes, and even learn about the roles these vehicles play in our daily lives. We are thrilled to present the Touch a Truck event as a dynamic kickoff to the Mount Pleasant Library Summer Reading Program. It's an opportunity for families to engage with the community, spark curiosity in children, and promote a love for learning, said Haverly Pennington, director of Main Street. In addition to the vehicle displays, the event will feature entertainment, food trucks, and activities. Mount Pleasant Main Street, Mount Pleasant Library, Heritage Bank, First Farmers Bank, United Community Bank, Southside Baptist Church, Norman's Body Shop, and Stagg's Simple Shine have joined forces to make this day unforgettable, ensuring a festive atmosphere for all attendees. Families are encouraged to bring their children, explore the trucks, and discover the joy of reading. The event is free and open to the public. For more information about the Touch a Truck event and the Mount Pleasant Library's Summer Reading Program, please contact Haverly Pennington, Main Street Director, at haverly@visitmountpleasanttn.com. Join the King's Daughter School for their About Autism Lunch and Learn called See Beyond the Spectrum. The program will feature Annette Hatfield, the director of the Center for Autism, to learn about autism and how we can partner as a community to provide safe places and inclusion for everyone. The event will take place on April 16th at 11:30 a.m. at the King's Daughter School Craig Hall, located at 401 West 9th Street in Columbia. You can RSVP by emailing Tiffany Wright at tiffany.wright@tkds.org. The King's Daughter School promotes independence through educational, residential, and community services for individuals with developmental disabilities, continuing a 100 years legacy of service. For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have scattered thunderstorms early in the day, then cloudy skies with rain likely later on. The high will be around 65 degrees with winds out of the west at 10 to 20 miles per hour. The chance of rain today, 80%. Tonight, we can expect mostly cloudy skies early, then clearing overnight. The low will be 47 degrees with winds out of the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks & Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks & Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Maury County families in the ways they prefer, and why Matt and Susie Sowell believe the way to honor tradition is with especially personal service.
We believe your traditions, your customs, your rites of passage are very important. But we also believe in taking care of your personal wishes as well.
At Oaks & Nichols, we try to do more than just the expected things, so the service you receive honors your heritage and is uniquely yours. And we invite you to experience the difference.
Oaks & Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
Debbie Matthews grew up and lives in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. As a realtor, she is well-versed in homes, neighborhoods, development, and schools. She wants to share her love of her home state with others to help them find just the right place to raise a family, open a business, or develop a dream. From luxury listings to land, she can handle it all. She is the current leading producer, Nashville Realty Group. Contact Debbie Matthews Realtor at 615-476-3224. That's 615-476-3224.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine, too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench. Still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
We all live very busy lives. Sometimes we just need a break. Wouldn't it be nice to have an extra pair of hands to help out? Let me introduce you to New Dawn Cleaning Service. No job is too big or too small because they do it all, from residential to commercial. They offer standard cleaning, construction cleaning, carpet shampooing, and window cleaning. Whether you are looking for a one-time service or regular scheduled cleaning plan, New Dawn is ready to help. With years of experience, you can relax, kick back, and call New Dawn Cleaning Service at 615-977-6901.
This is Bob Kessling with Pat Ryan. It's a beautiful day for digging. The backhoe operator has the engine running and is moving into position. He's heading for the ground. He's in there. Wait, there's a flag on the play. Let's get out of the field for the call from our official.
Illegal procedure on the digging team.
Oh, that penalty could cause a costly accident.
That's right, Bob. He needs to call before he digs. There's underground utility lines that could be hiding just below the surface. Water, sewer, electrical, communication lines, and even natural gas.
Avoid a penalty by first calling 811 to have any underground public utility lines located and marked with flags or paint.
It's free, it's easy, and it's the law.
For more tips, visit pipesafety.org. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and the Tennessee Gas Association, funded in part by a grant from the Underground Utility Damage Enforcement Board.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on and WKRM 103.7. The Tennessee General Assembly is at odds over a massive franchise tax refund after the House and Senate passed vastly different versions of a bill backed by Governor Bill Lee. The House on Monday passed their slimmed-down version of the plan, which will allow businesses to seek a one-year refund of a franchise tax some state officials say must be handed out to avoid a costly lawsuit. The House's plan would also require the state to publicly list businesses who benefit from the refund. With the one-year time period, the House version would cost around $800 million, a significant savings compared to the Senate's three-year look-back, which is expected to cost Tennessee $1.9 billion between a gargantuan refund and new tax break. Under the House plan, companies who take a refund from the state would also have to waive their right to sue over the franchise tax in the future, as lawmakers have argued they're pushing this legislation under a specter of a potential lawsuit. Senate Republicans have previously blocked an effort to carve out transparency. Majority Leader William Lamberth sponsored House Bill 1893 and has argued the tax change is simply good policy, while Senate Republican leaders down the hall have continually indicated their hand is being forced by a looming lawsuit threat, the origin of which state officials have refused to disclose. No court anywhere has found that our law is unconstitutional, Lamberth said of Tennessee's longstanding franchise and excise tax calculation, though he said the state is now out of step with the rest of the country. Though House Democrats said they were pleased to see additional transparency measures in the lower chamber's version, the caucus was critical the legislature could find millions to refund corporations while declining to pass a grocery tax or other tax relief for hardworking Tennesseans. House Democratic Caucus Chair John Ray Clemens called the bill a voluntary codification of a corporate handout. "We don't owe those companies anything," Clemens said. "They operated under the laws of Tennessee. They do not deserve a $700 million refund." The House bill passed in a party-line vote, though eight Republicans blue-lighted the bill, recording themselves as present but not voting the legislation. With the two chambers at odds on significant details, the legislation is expected to go to a conference committee in the coming days before a compromise is reached. Tennessee Senate Republicans this week passed legislation that will allow some teachers to go armed in school classrooms over the objections of Democrats and parents of school shooting survivors during a contentious floor session, but the measure isn't law yet. The House companion bill, House Bill 1202, technically only needs a final vote in the lower chamber after passing through committees last year. However, the bill is currently being held on the desk, a procedural term that means a bill is in a holding pattern unless someone moves to remove it from the table. If that happens, it will likely quickly move to a full floor vote within days or potentially immediately if the House suspended its rules. House leadership last week indicated they're supportive of the bill, while opponents this week said they're engaged in a Hail Mary effort to dissuade the House from taking it back up. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff, or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Looking for a physician? Choosing a healthcare provider for your family is one of the most important decisions you will make. Murray Regional Medical Group delivers primary care for individuals of all ages, from newborns to adults, and has an array of specialists ranging from endocrinologists to urologists. With locations in Murray, Lewis, Marshall, and Wayne counties, our experienced team can provide you with quality care close to home. For more information, visit murrayregionalmedicalgroup.com. Murray Regional Medical Group. Your health is our primary care.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street, across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. John Fogerty just announced new dates for his celebration tour. It will honor the music of Creedence Clearwater Revival. The tour will be stopping at First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, August 7th. Special guests will be George Thorogood and the Destroyers, along with Hardy Har. John Fogerty is a true American treasure. As the leader of Creedence Clearwater Revival, Fogerty forged a distinctive groundbreaking sound all his own. He's a Grammy winner and has been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as well as the Songwriters Hall of Fame, He's the only musician to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame for his song Center Field, a staple at baseball stadiums across the country. You can find tickets on sale this Friday, April 12th at 10 a.m. You can find them at www.firstbankamphitheater.com. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting WKOM WKRM Radio. If you ever miss a part or all of this broadcast, you can listen to it anytime or read the transcript online by visiting frontporchradiotn.com. I'll be back tomorrow to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe and have a great day.